think it's pretty common for us to give advice to other people. We, as parents, will often give advice to our children. Maybe at work you find coworkers giving advice to each other on how to do their job, or a boss might give advice to the employee. We might have friends that we give advice to. We might have neighbors that we talk to about how to fix something in their yard or something along those lines. We give advice to people. That's something that we do on a regular basis. And I think a lot of times, at least in my personal experience, when we want to give somebody advice, a lot of times it comes from our own experience. We've done things a number of times. We see our neighbor out there doing something, and we've done that many times. And so we walk over and say, well, you know, you might want to do it in such and such way. We have a lot of experience with that. Parents see that in their children. They're about to do something. They've had experience with that. And so they lay out some advice. We do it at work, school, at home, a number of different places, in the church. We give people advice. A lot of times when we give people advice, if it is something that is non-consequential, it doesn't matter if the person takes our advice or not. It's not eternal in nature. It's not something that's a matter of heaven or hell. It's a matter of take it or leave it. And in those types of matters, we could even be wrong when we're giving our advice. Every once in a while, we might give the wrong advice, and we realize later, well, I probably shouldn't have said that. Well, if it's non-consequential, it's not a big deal. But have you ever given anybody advice that involves spiritual matters or their relationship with God or eternity? We would definitely want to be right about that. You know, Don might give me some advice on how to do yard sailing. Well, I can take it or leave it. He could be right or wrong. It doesn't really matter in the long run. But if we're talking to someone about the relationship with God, whether they go to heaven or not, that's another matter. We've got to be correct in our advice. This evening, if you'll turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 7, we're going to talk about an individual who gave some advice to King David. And we're going to learn this evening that we need to be careful about what kind of advice that we give other individuals, and we need to be careful about the kind of advice that we receive ourselves in our own life. If we're talking about advice on how to do a recipe, if we're talking about advice on how to do some mechanic work or yard sailing, it doesn't really matter if we get it right or wrong. You know, the dessert might not quite turn out right, but it doesn't really matter in the end. But if we're talking about our relationship with God and whether a person is going to be saved or lost, it definitely does matter. And we're going to learn this evening that we need to be careful about the advice we give and the advice we receive. What's important is the will of God. We sang this evening, Sweet Will of God. We read this evening in John chapter 6 that Jesus said, I've come down from heaven to do the will of my Father. That's what's important. But a lot of times today, you don't hear people giving advice. You need to do the will of God. What you hear today is something similar to what Nathan told David in 2 Samuel 7. And so this evening I want to talk a little bit about Nathan's statement in 2 Samuel 7. And of course the parallel account is in 1 Chronicles 17. When David wants to build a temple, Nathan says, do all that is in your heart. That was the advice, that was the counsel that Nathan gave David. We're going to see this evening that that was not accurate. I'm going to call it unwise. You can describe it how you want, but it was something that Nathan told David that God is going to have to correct. How many times today do we hear people say, well, just do what's in your heart, or I'm going to do what's in my heart? No, we need to do, if we're talking about recipes and yard sailing and mechanic work and a host of other things, yeah, fine, do what's in your heart. But if you're talking about your relationship with God, we've got to do what the revealed will of God says. In 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 1, it came to pass David had been king some time. He had built his own house. He realizes, I'm living in my own house, and there's not a physical place other than the tabernacle. The Ark of the Covenant has been in tents all throughout time, from the time of Mount Sinai up to the present. I want a permanent structure for the Ark of the Covenant. It came to pass when the king dwelt in his house, and Jehovah had given him rest from all his enemies round about, that the king said unto Nathan the prophet, see, now I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells within curtains. And Nathan said to the king, go do all that is in thy heart, for Jehovah is with thee. If you know anything about Nathan the prophet, you know that he was a great guy. Nathan was a great guy. In fact, you remember over in chapter 11, a few chapters later, when David sins with Bathsheba and Nathan comes to him, it's Nathan who preaches to David and says, thou art the man. Nathan gets David to recognize his own sin and confess it. David is a great guy. Nathan is a great guy. And you turn over to 1 Kings chapter 1 when David is about to die, and it's Nathan that, along with some others, that helps put Solomon on the throne instead of Adonijah, who was usurping that position. Nathan's a great guy, but here he missed it a little bit. And we've got to remember that those around us are human beings. We might have friends that are giving us counsel, but every once in a while they might mess up. They're not perfect. And we might have someone close to us, and it could be a family member, it could be a spouse, it could be a parent, it could be a number of close individuals, and we're trusting in them and we're listening to them, but we've always got to check that with the revealed Word of God. So this evening, let's consider a few lessons for our admonition from this chapter. We're going to go down through the chapter, and we're going to learn some lessons. And hopefully we're going to be reminded this evening that it's about the sweet will of God, the revealed will of God in our life, not what's in our heart. The world today, our society today, is so messed up because people are just doing what's in their heart and not the revealed will of God. The first lesson that comes to my mind here with regard to verses 1 and 2 is that people have all kinds of desires. But what's important is the revealed Word of God. You've got desires. I've got desires. We all go home and we have things that we want to do. And that's great. But if we're talking about things involving God's plan, we don't need to be saying what's in my heart. We need to be saying what is the Word of God. And we're going to start reading in just a minute in verse 4, and we're going to find out what the Word of God is. And it came to pass the same night that the Word of Jehovah, we're going to talk about that in a minute. That's what's important. The Word of Jehovah, not Nathan's misguided advice to somebody. Do you have any desires tonight? Yeah, we all have things. We've got plans for our family and work and down through life and retirement. We've got all kinds of plans and desires, and that's fine. But do they match up with the revealed Word of God? David, when you read verse 1 and 2, you can tell that he's got a great heart. Think about this. He's in his own place, a house of cedar that he has built, and he's thinking about God. Isn't that great? That's great. But you still have to go by the revealed Word of God. Somebody might say, well, David had a great attitude and his motive was good. Yeah, he's thinking about God. I can't think about a greater motive than that. But it still does not match up with what God wants. We're going to learn in a minute that God does not want David to build him a house. So it doesn't matter our desires and our motives and what we feel and that type of thing. What matters is the revealed Word of God, and that's why we have to know our Bible. How many times I hear discussions that are very important in nature, things that involve ethical and moral types of things that involve people's eternal salvation, and all I hear is what I feel. What I feel. I just feel in my heart. It doesn't matter. We have all kinds of desires. And there are other places, even in the Psalms, where David talks about how that God will grant the desires of the heart. But that's qualified with passages like this, as long as our desires match up with the Word of God. So yes, have plans. The lesson this evening is not to have plans. The lesson this evening is don't ever have goals and don't ever have plans. Absolutely. But they have to match up with the revealed Word of God. Turn with me now to verse 3. When Nathan said to David, "Do all that is in your heart," he's getting David away from what is important. We're to be guided by the revealed Word of God, not by what is in our heart. And David is going to admit later in verse 21 that it is actually about what God wants, not what I want. He comes to realize that. And so that's really our main lesson this evening. We need to be guided by the revealed Word of God, not what's in our heart. We could look down through time, starting with Eve and Adam and Cain and all the way down, and see the trouble that you get into when you want to go with what your heart says. Eve went with what her heart said, and that's what happened. And Cain got all angry and did what his heart said and killed his brother. We can go down through time until the Lord comes again, and millions of examples of the problems that we get into when we follow our heart. But you will never get into trouble following the revealed Word of God. David should have known this. What is in the chapter right before 2 Samuel chapter 7? What is in 2 Samuel chapter 6? What is in that? Do you remember in 2 Samuel chapter 6, if you just glance over there, it's when they're bringing the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. Do you remember that? And they've got it on a new cart, and it's rocking along, and all of a sudden the oxen stumble, and the cart's going to fall over, and Uzzah puts his hand up there, and he's struck dead for touching the Ark. You know what Uzzah did? He did what was in his heart. Well, I was just doing what was in my heart. Yeah. And you disobeyed the Word of God. And if you look at the parallel account, turn over, hold your hand there in 2 Samuel 7, we're coming back there. Flip over to 1 Chronicles 15:13. 1 Chronicles 15:13, David was wondering, well, how can we bring the ark back? Uzzah has been struck dead. David, before this account tonight, had already learned that you have to go by the revealed Word of God. In 1 Chronicles 15:13, he said the problem was we sought it not according to the commandment. Do you see that? The priests were to carry it on their shoulders. And the reason we got into trouble with Uzzah and all of that was we didn't follow the commandment. David already knew that you go by the Word of God. But when it comes to tonight's situation, he gets caught up in the advice of the emotional side of things, what's in my heart, rather than the revealed objective Word of God. David had just been reminded with Uzzah and the bringing of the ark back that you go by the revealed Word of God. And when we don't seek it according to the commandment, there's going to be problems. And he's going to be reminded in tonight's lesson that it's about the revealed Word of God. And brethren, that's the same for us today. There's a constant force among us today of just do what's in your heart and resist that with all your might and say, no, I'm going to do and be guided by the revealed Word of God. The interesting thing about this principle, David did not just keep this principle to himself. Notice this. That when it comes time later to build the temple, David actually passes this principle on to the people as a whole and to Solomon in particular. And so the next point that I'd like to consider this evening is not only do we need to learn this principle ourselves for everyone here tonight, but as much as you can pass it on to anybody else, do it. family, friends, coworkers, pass on to them, tell them, it's not about what's in my heart. It's about what God says. Notice this. Turn with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 22. Again, hold your hand there. We'll be coming back. When it comes time for David to prepare, and David had already been preparing, but notice that when he prepares for the building of the temple, and it comes time to tell Solomon about how that, Solomon, you're the one that's going to build the temple. Look at 1 Chronicles 22, 6. Then he, David, called for Solomon his son and charged him to build a house for Jehovah, the God of Israel. And David said to Solomon his son, get this, as for me, it was in my heart to build a house unto the name of Jehovah my God. But the word of Jehovah came to me saying, thou hast shed blood abundantly and hast made great wars. Thou shalt not build a house unto my name. He tells his son, I'm telling you, it was in my heart, but I had to learn that it's the revealed word of God. Pass that on. Teach that to your children. Bible class teachers here at the building, pass that on to your students. That is so important. Because again, we live in a world, if you stop and think about it, brethren, I saw somebody say the other day, if you get God out of your life, then you're not going to see the image of God in other people. I like that. We've gotten God out of our life so much in this society. Stop and think about it. What's left? If we've removed the revealed will of God in America, what's left? I feel and I think and what's in my heart, you see? We're going to have to face that. We already face that constantly. So it's important not only for us to follow it ourselves, but teach it and pass it on to others. Look at what he says to the people. It's not just Solomon, but he passes this principle on to the people. Turn to 1 Chronicles 28. Preach it, teach it, pass it on, share it on Facebook, whatever. Pass it on. People need to learn this principle. And David assembled all the princes of Israel, the princes of the tribes of the captains of the companies that served the king by course, and the captains of thousands. He gathers all these people. Look at verse 2. Then David the king stood up on his feet and said, all these people, hear me, my brethren and my people. As for me, it was in my heart to build a house for rest for the Ark of the Covenant of Jehovah and for the footstool of our God. And I made ready for the building. By the way, stop right there. Is it okay to do what's in your heart if you've already started? No. Well, I've already started making ready. Well, go ahead and do it then. Don't worry about what God says. Sometimes, Bob prayed this in his prayer, we get ahead of God. We run ahead of God. Well, David says there in that verse that he had already been making preparation. But it wasn't going to be for him to do it. And sometimes in the religious world, people get, we have that expression, they get over their skis. They get ahead of themselves and they're already into it and it's like, well, let's just go with it. No. So notice in that verse that he had told the people, I had, not only was it in my heart, but I had already made ready for the building. But God said unto me, thou shalt not build a house for my name. So now he's passing it on to the people. And then turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 8. When David's gone, and it comes time for Solomon to build the temple, Solomon remembered this lesson because he brings it up now. Look at 1 Kings 8. After they finished building the temple, and Solomon addresses the people, and he has this prayer of dedication, which is a beautiful lesson. 1 Kings 8, 17. He's talking to the people. Verse 12, Solomon spake. Now it was in the heart of David, my father, to build a house for the name of Jehovah, the God of Israel. But Jehovah said unto David, my father, whereas it was in thy heart to build a house for my name, thou didst well that it was in thy heart. Nevertheless, underscore that in your Bible. Here's the divine nevertheless. Thou shalt not build the house, but thy son that shall come, that's going to be Solomon, shall build the house. Now you got Solomon repeating it. Why? Because his dad taught him that principle. And that's what we need today. It will be carried on by those after us. And they will be guided by the sweet will of God. rather than what's in their heart. Another lesson that comes to my mind this evening is that we need to be careful about our close friends. Like Nathan, our close friends can err in judgment and mislead us. Nathan is not the divine Son of God. Nathan is a human that makes mistakes. And so we have to be careful who we're listening to. And sometimes we have those who are close to us, maybe close family members, someone that we wouldn't think would mislead us, but they err in judgment from time to time. Members of the church, close friends. We always have to, when somebody says something to us, compare that with the Word of God. Isn't that what happened to Barnabas? Peter acted hypocritically in Galatians chapter 2. You've been studying that in the adult Bible class. And the text says that even Barnabas was led away by his hypocrisy. Why? Because Barnabas had let his guard down and just trusted Peter. He's an apostle. There's no way he can be wrong. And they get caught up in hypocrisy. We must always keep our thinking caps on. I don't believe Nathan intentionally tried to mislead David. Nathan is trying to please the king. He's a close advisor to the king. This comes to his mind. He mentions it, and both of them have to learn that night. That night, no, it's about what God says. And what God says is going to be different than what you want, David. So along those lines, being mindful that even close friends can err in judgment, myself included, always test what I say. Always test what any... Well, my wife would never mislead me. My husband would never mislead me. And yet you find that to be the case sometimes. My parents would never mislead me. And yet sometimes they do. Along that line then, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 19. It raises the question, what counsel are we giving to others and where do we get our counsel? I like Proverbs 19:21. You know, counsel comes a dime a dozen. Anybody can give you counsel. But we need to be thinking, again, I'm not talking about mundane, non-consequential matters of life. I'm talking about our relationship with God and eternity. In those matters, we have to make sure that that is coming from the Word of God. There are many devices in a man's heart, but the counsel of Jehovah, that shall stand. That's what's important. There's all kinds of books out there giving counsel and counseling groups, and I'm not opposed to counseling. Counseling can really help a person. But there's all kinds of devices in people's heart. What matters is the Word of God. That's what stands. That's what is going to be our criteria in the judgment day. So when we give people counsel and when we get counsel, make sure it is the counsel of Jehovah. And that, of course, comes in the revealed Word of God. Notice in 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 3 that Nathan bolstered his advice with this comment that do all that is in thy heart for Jehovah is with thee. Look at that statement. Jehovah is with thee. That's a very positive thing, a very encouraging thing. And that's true. But it's qualified elsewhere in Scripture. If you'll turn with me to 2 Chronicles 15 verse 2, Jehovah is with us when we are with Him. Jehovah is with us, absolutely, and that's a positive, encouraging thing. But it's when we are on His side doing His will. This is what Azariah says to Asa. Jehovah is with you while you are with Him. And if you seek Him, He will be found of you. But if you forsake Him, He will forsake you. Yes, God is with us. And that's encouraging to tell someone, I want you to do such and such and God will be with you. But we've got to understand that's a big statement that we're making. We're speaking on behalf of God. And we learn in this other passage that it's conditioned upon being with God and doing His will. God is not with those in the sense of fellowship and support and condoning. He's not with those who just follow their heart. He's with those who follow His will. Notice with me, let's keep reading in 2 Samuel. Let's start reading in verse 4. Another lesson that comes out here is the importance of the silence of God. Verse 4, it came to pass the same night. Notice that God didn't take long to correct this unwise counsel. He didn't let it go very long. The same night, the word of Jehovah came unto Nathan. And by the way, if you make notes in your Bible, from here down to verse 17 or so, underscore how many times in your Bible it talks about what God said or His word or what He spake. Just notice that. It's about the revealed word of God. It came to pass in the same night that the word, there's your first one, the word of Jehovah came unto Nathan saying, go and tell my servant David, thus saith Jehovah, shalt thou build me a house for me to dwell in? For I have not dwelt in a house since the day that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, but have walked in a tent and in a tabernacle. In all places wherein I have walked, and all the children of Israel, spake I a word with any of the tribes of Israel, whom I commanded to be shepherd of my people Israel, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar? I've never asked for this. Now we're going to find out in a minute that God's going to allow it. He's going to allow Solomon to build that, and not just allow it, but He's going to, when the temple was built, the glory of the Lord came into that temple, and there was a cloud in that temple showing the glory of the Lord, like in the case of the tabernacle when it was finished. God's going to approve of this thing, but notice in verse 7, He says, I've never asked for this before. That is a great verse to think about. When God doesn't say something or ask for something or reveal something, we cannot presume on God's silence. We have to respect His word, but we also have to respect His silence. And we've had lessons here before on the silence of the scriptures. And we can add this verse into that lesson. We go by what God says, not by what He does not say. Now, let's keep reading. What's going to happen here is that God is going to correct then what was in David's heart. And another lesson that we learn then is that the errors of men and women, the errors of human judgment, they are corrected by God's revelation. David had it in his mind that this is the way it's going to be. I've already made preparation for it. I'm going to build a house for God. And that had to be corrected. How is it corrected? Not by somebody else stepping in and saying, I think and I feel, but when God reveals His will, that's how it's corrected. Verse 8, now therefore, thus shalt thou say, notice that, the revealed word of God, say, speak, tell. Thus thou shalt say unto my servant David, thus saith Jehovah of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, that thou shouldest be prince over my people, over Israel. And I have been with thee, whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thine enemies from before thee, and I will make thee a great nation likened unto thy name, the name of the great ones that are in the earth. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in their own place, and be moved no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as at the first. And as from the day that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, I will cause thee to rest from all thine enemies. David, I've blessed you in so many ways. It's just not for you to build this house. I've blessed you. I'll continue to bless you. In fact, there's going to be one of the greatest messianic promises coming up here in just a minute. But I don't want you to build my house. Verse 12. When thy days are fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, 1 Kings 1, David passes away, I will set up thy seed after thee, that shall proceed out of thy bowels, and will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men, and with the stripes of the children of men. But my loving kindness shall not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thy house and thy kingdom shall be made sure forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. According to all these words, And according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak to David. I wish we had time this evening. We'll have to save it for a separate lesson. But one of the greatest messianic prophecies is found in verses 12 through 16. This is a double fulfillment. It begins with Solomon, who's going to build a literal house for God. And then ultimately, it's going to be fulfilled in Jesus Christ, who will sit on the throne of David. And that's a great lesson, but we'll have to save that for another time. We're focusing here on the fact that God corrected this error in judgment. How? With the revealed word of God. And that's the way it is today. So when you're studying with someone and when you're talking with someone and somebody brings up I think and I feel, how do you correct that? You don't correct that with more I think and I feel. We correct that with the revealed word of God. The other day I was in McKay's and I was over in the religion section and there were two ladies really going at it religiously. And one lady would say, well, I think and I feel. Then the other one said, well, you know, but I think and I feel. And they were going back and forth. Everybody was just what they feel. And nothing was solved. We've got to allow the Word of God to correct our thinking and be willing, without question, to accept God's revealed Word over our own desires. So let's keep reading in verse 18. David didn't say, well, I don't like this answer. I'm still going to do what's in my heart. David accepted the revealed will of God, even though it was opposite of what he wanted. He describes himself as God's servant. He humbly accepts the revealed word of God. And brethren, that's the way it needs to be in our life always. Then David, the king, went in and sat before Jehovah. And he said, who am I, O Lord Jehovah? And what is my house that thou hast brought me in thus far? And this was yet a small thing in thine eyes, O Lord Jehovah, but thou hast spoken also of thy servant's house for a great while to come, and this too after the manner of men, O Lord Jehovah. And what can David say more unto thee? For thou knowest thy servant, O Lord Jehovah, for thy word's sake and according to thine own heart. Underscore that in your Bible. David realizes, oh, it's according to what's in God's heart. Yes, not what's in my heart. Thy words and according to thine own heart, that hast thou wrought all this greatness to make thy servant know it. When you go back to verses 12, 13, and 14, the word house is being used in two different ways. Your son will build me a house, a physical temple, but then God says to David, I'm going to build you a house, talking about his lineage. Those who are going to come after him, starting with Solomon, and ultimately it's fulfilled, Paul says in Acts 13, where God gave Jesus the sure mercies of David. It ultimately is fulfilled in Jesus Christ, who sat on the throne of David. He's called the Son of David, sitting on the throne of David. Luke 1, Acts 2, Acts 13. So David is realizing, oh, God, you care about my house, his lineage, and you're going to do these great things. Verse 22, wherefore thou art great, O Jehovah God, for there is none like thee, neither is there any God besides thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears. So be willing to accept what that revealed will is, even though it's different. And here is how we do it. Somebody said, how could somebody do that? That they've been planning, and it's in their heart, and you know, when you have something in your heart, and you're really feeling strongly about that, that's hard to get that out of there. How in the world can we overcome this thing about, well, it's not my heart, it's the revealed will of God? Here's how. You magnify God so great in your life and in my life that there's no discussion. Look at how David describes God from here to the end of the chapter. If God is so great and we magnify God so greatly, then case closed. It's going to be the revealed will of God, not what's in my heart. Verse 22. You are great, and there is none like thee. Neither is there any God besides thee, according to all that we have heard from our ears. Notice, heard, the revealed will. And what one nation in the earth is like thy people, even like Israel, whom God went to redeem and to himself for a people and to make him a name, and to do great things for you and terrible or awesome things for thy land before thy people whom thou redeemest to thee out of Egypt. You've done all these great things for your people. Verse 24, and thou didst establish to thyself thy people Israel to be a people unto thee and forever. And thou, Jehovah, became their God. And now, O Jehovah God, the word that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and concerning his house, confirm thou it forever and do as thou hast spoken. And let thy name be magnified forever, saying, Jehovah of hosts is God over Israel, and the house of thy servant David shall be established before thee. That is ultimately going to be fulfilled in Jesus Christ. David doesn't say, well, you know, God, he's pretty great, but I'm the king. And everybody around me better prop me up and give me advice and give me counsel that lets me do what I want. David gets the word of God from Nathan, and you can just, you know, he's sitting there listening to that. Nathan's telling him. And then he immediately goes into this, I'm your servant. I'll do what you say. You're the great one. What a great lesson for us. Verse 27, for thou, O Jehovah of hosts, the God of Israel, hast revealed, not, we're not going to go what's in our heart. You have revealed to thy servant, saying, I will build thee a house, a lineage, that ultimately will be fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Therefore hath thy servant found in his heart to pray this prayer unto thee. All of a sudden, the heart comes up again, but it's a different situation. It's in David's heart now to accept the revealed will of God. And that should be the way it works for us. That our heart is always attuned to what God says. Verse 28, and now, O Lord Jehovah, thou art God. That's how we get to that point. The greatness of God. Thou art God, not me. And thy words are truth. Not what's in my heart. And thou hast promised this good thing unto thy servant. That is, that there would be one on his throne forever. Again, back in verses 12, 13, and 14. Now therefore, let it please thee. Look at that. It's about what pleases God, not me. Let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant that it may continue forever before thee. For thou, O Lord Jehovah, hast spoken it, and with thy blessing let the house of thy servant be blessed forevermore. We'll close with this, that we have to be very careful about what's in our heart. You remember Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things, and it is exceedingly corrupt. Who can know it? Be careful about where we're getting our counsel. Be careful about who is advising us for this or that. Again, if it's the mundane things of this life, what's the best barbecue restaurant in Clarksville? It doesn't really matter if you take a person's advice or not. Or when you get on your phone and you're looking for a restaurant, how many stars does it have? And they're going down through there with the recommendations. In the end, it doesn't matter if that's accurate or not. But if we're talking about going to heaven or not, we've got to get the right advice and counsel. And it's not the subjective, what's in our heart, but it's the objective, revealed will of God. It is so prevalent today, that matter, that I thought that lesson this evening would encourage us along those lines. You begin to see when David is described as a man after God's own heart, it's not just simply that he confessed his sin with Bathsheba, but there were other occasions in his life, like tonight, where he has to learn important lessons, and he's willing to do that and just say, you know, it's about the great God of heaven and what he reveals, not what Nathan has suggested to me. And I'm sure Nathan had a great attitude. We all have well-meaning motives and things, but let's walk away this evening being reminded that it's about the revealed will of God. And if that revealed will this evening has stirred you to come and respond to the gospel, we can help you with that or to come back to the Lord in some way. Our society is built so much on the subjective feelings of this or that, that we have strayed greatly from the objective Word of God. Let's help ourselves and others get back to that. If we can help you in some way, why won't you come as we stand and sing this evening?